Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots coming up on the show today. Very excited. At 10:33, right after the news, at the bottom of the hour, we are going to be talking to New York Times best-selling author Andra Watkins. And Andra grew up in a Christian nationalist household, and her education was very much in that vein. And I saw a podcast with her and Scott Dworkin that was just fascinating because she has insights about the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. So if you are interested in learning more about Project 2025, which, yes, they're still trying to run away from, and we'll talk about that at about 10:20, but it's going to be a very interesting conversation. It should be fascinating, if not a little, a little frightening.
Frightening, but yet I can't wait because I grew up in a Catholic household, and that's not a Christian nationalist, and no. I want to see where I was raised to where it's just a different level.
Well, there are considerably different interpretations, I would say, and definitions.
Oh, absolutely.
That they apply that I think the vast majority of us do not. So yeah. That's Andra Watkins coming up at 10:33. 11:33, Journal Sentinel sports guru J.R. Ratcliffe will be here to talk all things sports balls. And then we'll wrap up, as we usually do on Thursdays, with weather and wine with Civic Media's Brittany Merlot. Find out where we're going to be heading for the weekend. Looks like we've got a pretty nice stretch of weather, at least. So Brittany will have more details coming up with that. First, though, wow.
Right?
Wow, Eau Claire and Western Wisconsin. Holy cow.
As you're talking about this, I'm watching a video on Twitter of the crowd.
Oh, it was nuts.
Yeah.
It was just crazy.
What was happening, Jane?
There was a rally yesterday in Eau Claire.
A rally, you say?
Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, and her running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, campaigned yesterday in Eau Claire, and then they stopped in Detroit. And I would say that the Eau Claire crowd was bigger than Detroit, although Detroit they filled an airplane hangar.
They had to move it to the airplane hangar.
Because the response was so big.
Yeah.
I would love to hear from you if you were there yesterday in Eau Claire at 855-752-4842. I know we did have a caller yesterday who was frustrated because they tried to get there and they kept closing down roads and people walked 2 miles.
Yeah. If you have pictures, text them in.
We would love to see them.
Yeah. We'd love to see what was going on. I mean, all the pictures look joyous and fun and, you know, a good time. It was, and kudos to anyone who went. I mean, it was 6 hours of waiting. Pat Kreitlow went to the event and he came back with a nice red face.
I bet. So, it was hot.
Yeah.
Todd Alba was there.
Yes.
And so if you have any impressions from Eau Claire yesterday, we would love to hear them. Just give us a call. Send in a text, 855-752-4842. Like you said, Greg, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, this is in the Washington Post. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is joyous about the joy. Quote, all the things that made me mad about those other guys and all the things they do wrong, the one thing I will not forgive them for is they tried to steal the joy from this country. But you know what? You know what? Our next president brings the joy. She emanates the joy.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And as I was watching it, because I did watch it live yesterday, I was just struck by the difference in tone between the Trump-Walz campaign and the Harris, I'm sorry, Trump-Vance campaign, whoopsie, and the Harris-Walz campaign.
Yeah.
Harris Walz are joyous and positive and forward-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see anyone in T-shirts with profanities on them directed at Trump Vance, which I thought was nice.
It's refreshing, isn't
right?
it?
That was kind of a nice touch not to have be there or have little kids walking around in T-shirts that say Joe and the Ho, which I've seen at Trump rallies. There were no people turning around flipping off the press.
Yeah.
It was just a happy, positive, forward-looking event.
Yeah.
And in Detroit as well. What do you think, Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see this live, but I and I didn't even hear it, to be honest, but I heard hearsay that the crowd started a lock him up chant, and Kamala said, no, yep. We let the courts do that.
Yep.
Which I think is a good message, but I think is a little annoying because I think lock him up is a fair sentiment.
Like, it's a fair sentiment, but I have an addendum to that.
Okay.
Because for years, GOP fans have been screaming, lock her up. And they're talking about Hillary Clinton or anyone they don't like.
Pretty much.
But mainly Hillary Clinton. And it was based on zero crimes, zero evidence, zero, zero. It was zero times zero equals zero.
After years of investigations.
Exactly. Millions of our tax dollars spent on investigations. So lock her up, yeah, moot, redundant, dumb. But you know what, folks? If you want to go to these Harris Walls events, say this instead. Lock him up because he's been convicted on 34 counts of felonies. Lock him up. It doesn't have bounce. It doesn't. I know, but it's truthful.
It is truthful.
It's truthful.
It's not. Doesn't flow necessarily.
Are you saying I don't have pizzazz?
No,
Jane?
I think you got Riz.
Oh my God. Oh no.
I know you got Riz, baby.
Kids, your word is dead. It's dead.
It was just a welcome thing to see. And yeah. You brought up that she kind of stepped on that with the lock him up chant, which made me happy because, yeah. Yes, we're going to handle that in the courts.
Correct.
The other thing she did is she pretty effectively handled a heckler when she was in Detroit yesterday.
Correct, yes.
And they went off at her a little bit, and she just essentially said, look, keep saying that if you want Donald Trump elected as president. Otherwise, I'm speaking.
Yeah.
Now, she didn't tell other attendees to get him out of here, take him out, be a little rough with them if you have to. I'll pay your legal bills. Mm-hmm. Remember those?
One of my friends was one of those people who was gotten, they were assaulted at a Trump rally.
Seriously? Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was assaulted at a Trump rally. So I know this very well. And those individuals who were heckling her were pro-Palestine. And there is controversy with, you know, they're trying to paint Tim Walz and Kamala Harris as anti-Israel. And then you got pro-Palestinian people there. So it's kind of walking that thin line. But she said, and you've made this point before, I understand what you're saying, but if you want any results, go ahead and vote for Donald Trump and see what you get.
Oh, Donald Trump, well, no. It would be so much worse for the Palestinian people. I genuinely believe that. What is happening over there is tragic.
Yes.
And horrible and horrific.
Yeah.
Donald Trump would do nothing to make that better.
No,
he just
not
wouldn't.
At all.
There's also some couple other interesting comparisons between Trump rallies and the Harris Walls rallies.
Mm-hmm.
It was really hot yesterday. It got really hot, and people were waiting outside for hours. And so someone started to have problems with heat.
Yeah.
And as Tim Walz was speaking, this is what happened. Calvin, let's play that clip.
Look, freedom is when freedom. Oh, can we get somebody to help? Somebody's hot. Somebody's hot. Can we get somebody to help? You okay? Drink some water, folks. It is hot out. Get somebody up. Thank you. You get water? Thank you all for helping. Grateful. Thank you. Thank you all. Take care of one another on this. This is why we gather. Look, it's hot. It is hot. I'll come again. They've got folks here. We'll make sure we're okay. But I have to tell you all again, in all seriousness, to come and gather like this, to talk about our freedoms, the ability to talk about what could be good. And I have to say, this idea of caring for our neighbor and kindness and a hand up when somebody needs it, or just the sense of that people go through things and to be able to be there when they need it, that's who we are.
I wanted to make clear that I had to edit that down to less about a minute because it was almost 2 minutes there was silences because he was not doing the speech. He was making sure this person was being taken care of and he had his priorities straight. And I believe he believes it, what he said at the end, which is about helping each other and
looking out for each other.
Yeah. It's just very important. That's not so much the tone from a Trump rally in Las Vegas in June, is it, Jane?
Well, he did pause.
He did.
He did pause.
Yeah.
When someone fainted at his rally, because again, it was, and that was in Vegas. It was Nevada. It was really, really hot.
That was probably around the time it was like 150 degrees every day.
Yeah. It was crazy hot. So yes, during Trump's speech, someone had some issues with the heat. He did pause, but then continued making this comment. Calvin, let's play that clip.
If anybody gets tired, you let me know. And if anybody goes down, if you start going down, we have people, they'll pick you up right away. They'll throw water. You know, they were so worried. Everybody was so worried yesterday about you. And they never mentioned me. I'm up here sweating like a dog. Secret Service said, we have to make sure everyone's safe. I said, what about me? Oh, we never thought of that. They don't think about me. I'm working my ass off. I'm working hard. This is hard work.
For one thing.
Yeah.
Dogs don't sweat. That's why they pant.
Yep.
Just thought I'd point that out.
Also, how would it feel to be a Secret Service agent and just him saying they don't worry about me? That's all they do. And this is before the assassination attempt.
Yes.
So that's not a factor. But Secret Service train all day, every day scenarios to protect the president. People are in charge of taking bullets for the president. So for him to just be like, they don't worry about me. That's all they worry about, bro.
Well, and it just always comes back to him.
Yeah.
It's always about him.
Nobody worries about me.
And his needs I'm and just, his ego.
I'm not important. Did I just unlock a Trump? After 6 years, no one knows about me. I'll work on it.
And he's just a little.
A little work.
All right. Runaway from Project 2025 edition. What are we on now? Three or four?
They're trying to run away. It's like when you dream and you're in water and you can't run. You're just like, this is the GOP right now with Project 2025.
We will kick that around next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Waukesha boys there, Dabo Deans.
Oh, yes, like, where are you going? Yes.
Dabo
yes.
Deans.
Dabo Deans.
Dabo Deans. Missed them, loved them, saw them in concert. They were great. You can always join us. Give us a call. Send in a text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Want to remind you, next Tuesday, the August 13th primary, very important election. Even though there might not be anything sexy going on in your district, there are two constitutional amendments that will be appearing on everyone's ballots. I will be voting no. I don't see the need to give Robin Voss, the popcorn king, and his buddies in the Wisconsin legislature more control over money, especially emergency federal money, so they can just sit on it and gavel in and gavel out during yet another crisis.
Yeah.
Just my opinion. But we're going to be talking about more about that. There's a really good editorial in the Cap Times today about these constitutional amendments. So next Tuesday, make a plan to vote. Be a voter. It is cool to be a voter.
Be cool.
And then after the election, things wrap up. We will have all the results starting at 8 o'clock across Civic Media. So that is next Tuesday, August 13th. As we mentioned, the running away from Project 2025 just never seems to end. We've talked about Heritage Foundation President Kevin Roberts. He is one of the main architects of Project 2025. And he had a book that was supposed to come out. I thought it was supposed to come out in September.
What happened to that book, Jane?
They have now delayed publication, Greg Bach, of the upcoming book until after the November election.
Why is that, Jane?
Because people don't like Project 2025 once they find out what's in it.
Yep.
The book is called Dawn's Early Light, Taking Back Washington to Save America. Originally, it was titled Burning Down Washington.
Correct. Yep.
To Save America. And guess who wrote the foreword to the book?
Was it a vest-wearing, name-changing billionaire tech bro who happens to be the senator from Ohio and vice presidential nominee for the GOP?
You mean J.D. Vance?
I got it in one guess.
You
oh, my
did.
God.
You did.
Ding, ding, ding.
I was going to guess Peter Thiel, so I would.
You would not be far off.
I mean, honestly, aren't they all just pumped out of the same lab?
Pretty much, yeah. So J.D. Vance wrote the foreword for this book, written by Kevin Roberts, talking about what a great idea it is to push a radical overhaul of the federal government, giving the president power to fire career civil servants and replacing them with political loyalists who essentially have no experience.
Mm-hmm.
Not a big surprise, because Media Matters, I believe, got an early copy of the book. He attacks contraception. He attacks all contraception, actually. They shift norms, incentives, and choices. The destruction of a culture of hope. Because people get to choose whether or not they want to be parents. Kevin Roberts says in his book, technological changes make having a child seem like optional. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he also, this is one of my favorite parts. Robert sees signs of decay in America, including the proliferation of dog parks.
Yeah, I don't claim to be the smartest person on earth, Jane. I have a college degree, and I can cut hair well. But I don't understand that.
Too many dog parks, Greg Bach. Because
yes.
Kevin Roberts says it's a result of anti-family culture shaping legislation, regulation, and enforcement throughout our sprawling government. So apparently we're forcing dog parks into communities and forcing people to adopt dogs.
They tried to open a dog park in my living room. I'm like, get out of my freedom right now. Like, can someone lead me? Okay, so there's the thought in the book. There's the idea. Dog parks are destroying America.
And people are adopting dogs because they don't have children.
I demand your notebook, sir, where you started the concept and then worked your way down like a really cruddy game of chutes and ladders to that idea. Because I mean, conservative listeners, they're out there. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Can you make that make sense to me? Do you agree with that? I know some of you are dog owners. I'm a dog owner. I don't understand that at all.
I'm no longer a dog owner, and I am pro dog park. Of course, I am a childless, dogless, catless lady.
Yeah, you.
So I really shouldn't even have an
I don't think you should be talking at all, Jane.
I know, I shouldn't.
Why is my coffee not full? I'm just kidding, everyone. I would never speak to Jane or any other woman like that in my life. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
And then Washington Post has this article. Trump took a private flight with Project 2025 leader in 2022.
Yep.
Hanging around with Kevin Roberts, shared a 45-minute private flight with the Heritage Foundation president. Trump said they're going to lay the groundwork and detail plans for exactly what our movement will do. So don't tell me you don't know what's in it. Even though I know Trump has never read it. It's over 900 pages. I didn't read the whole thing. I, however, was not looking for pictures.
I am not in the game of defending the former president and dear leader of my uncles. But let's also come to the realization that not only did he not read the book, but I guarantee you he wasn't listening to Kevin Roberts as he spoke either. So there is a small kernel of possible truth that he doesn't know about it just because he doesn't care. Now,
That doesn't mean it wouldn't be implemented should he be reelected.
Exactly.
Because trust me, the man does not have policy proposals of his own.
Oh, absolutely. And I think he knows about it. I'm sure people have talked about it. At this point, people have talked about it. But I'm sure it's always in passing in his brain. And he's thinking about the other thing that's coming up or what's going on with his life or lunch or his daughter or something else. But like, I do not see Trump as the grand, the great thinker, the Sith Lord behind, that was a Star Wars reference, behind Project 2025. But it is funny for him to be like, I don't know anything about it. I'm like, dude, do you not know anything because you're lying or because you weren't listening? Make up your mind.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Kevin Roberts.
Yes, indeed.
And the Heritage Foundation with our next guest coming up after the 10:30 news. Andra Watkins is a New York Times bestselling author. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household, and she has some very interesting perspectives on the Christian nationalist influence on Project 2025. Mm-hmm. Very, very interesting. I'm much looking forward to this.
As am I.
And by the way, Anne from Chippewa Falls, listening here on WAUK, says, please promote the movie on Prime called Bad Faith.
Yes.
Tom from LA has mentioned that as well, and I did watch it. It is on Amazon Prime. Absolutely worth seeing.
Yeah.
Called Bad Faith.
Okay.
Check it out. It'd be a good idea. All right. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin on the board. Coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times best-selling author. She also has a great Substack about Project 2025. I am so excited to have you here. Andra Watkins, good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Jane and Greg. It's good to be here.
I saw your podcast with Scott Dworkin, and it just blew my mind because you have such interesting insights about Project 2025 and the influence of Christian nationalism on it. And that's really why I wanted to get you on the show, because there are so many different avenues of this, and you just bring an insight that I have not heard before, so thank you for joining us. Tell us a little bit, first of all, about your background and what it was like as where you grew up.
Well, I grew up in rural South Carolina, if you can't tell by my talking. I've never lived out of the South. And so my parents put me in a Christian nationalist kindergarten. Starting when I was five, they joined that church. And so I went to a Christian nationalist school and church for 13 years through 12th grade. It was affiliated with Jerry Falwell Sr.'s Moral Majority Movement in the 70s and 80s. So the indoctrination that I undertook, that my parents gave me, was a Christian nationalist indoctrination. We used textbooks from Bob Jones University. I was taught that America was founded as a white Christian nation, like they say today, that the founders were all Christians, which was not true, but that was what was in my history book, that the slaves were all happy on the plantation, you know, because this was South Carolina.
Oh, sure.
And so that's what I learned as a kid and what I believed into my 30s. So I started undoing that. I had a falling out with someone in my life in my early 30s and started questioning things, started reading different history books and biographies of different founders. And it was really shocking to me how much I'd learned as a child that just wasn't true. So that started my deconstruction journey that lasted 10 or 15 years. It takes a long time. It'll probably take the rest of my life to undo all these knots of this indoctrination, but it took a long time. And so when I picked up Project 2025 last year and started reading it, I didn't really think I'd be captivated by it because it's a brick and it's very boring and it's not written to be read or understood.
Exactly.
But several pages in, I looked at my husband and I said, there are Bible verses buried in this text. And I read some of it to them and he said, well, I never would have gotten that out of it. And none of the media was talking about any of that. They were doing these very wonkish articles about what it would do to the government and all that's important. But I thought, we really need to be talking about all the Bible verses and the Christian nationalist dogma that's buried in this document. And nobody's doing that. So in January, I started my Substack, How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life, to talk about it from that perspective. At that time, I was probably the only person who was talking about it that way. And I was calling it this Christo-fascist manifesto to transform our government from a democracy into a theocracy. And people would be like, isn't that a little hyperbolic and
we hear this so much that you're overreacting. You're overreacting. No, it's not.
Yeah. And now a lot more people are calling it that. And so it's good to know that my work has bubbled up and has influenced a bigger conversation about Project 2025, because it's a conversation that we need to have.
It blows my mind, first of all, that your books were provided by Bob Jones University. I mean, did they teach you that the Earth is like 8,000 years old and that man existed with dinosaurs?
Or 6,000 years old.
Six, eight, you know, at the most 10,000 years old. So my science books were all creationist science books as well. Yes. Yeah. So I've had to give myself a huge re-education as an adult.
I was telling Jane before we went on the air, I was raised Catholic, baptized in the church, Catholic school from first to 12th grade. And I know that, you know, if you identify as being a part of a Christian nationalist, you know, organization, you most likely think I'm one of the first people to go to hell.
Yes.
And, yeah. And the notion that, you know, I guess my question is you identify the school as a Christian nationalist school. Do they openly... behind closed doors, call themselves Christian nationalists? Because I feel like that is a term that is fairly new in the zeitgeist of America, and people still don't wrap their brains around what that actually means, because they think Christian nationalist, and they don't understand what the whole menu entails.
Right. So Christian nationalism is an academic term. I don't really like it, but I started using it because it's become what we call this group of people.
Yeah.
I like to call them radicalized Christians. But they do have a belief system that's very specific that I distilled down into six or seven beliefs on my Substack. So they believe that America was founded as a white Christian nation and that all the founders were Christians and the Constitution meant for us to all be Christians. They believe that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired word of God. And they interpret it literally, hence the creation story and teaching science the way they do. They believe that the Bible is God's perfect law and that everything humans needed to know is contained in the Bible, which is one reason why they hate science and expertise so much, because so much of that is outside the Bible and all we need is the Bible. That's what God meant for us to know about everything. But it should underpin our laws. So they believe that if man passes a law like allowing abortion, that they believe the Bible forbids, which it doesn't say anything about abortion, but they still teach that it does. They have a responsibility that God calls them to change that human law and make it match their interpretation of God's law or the Bible. So you see that playing out in red states, in red state legislatures with supermajorities. In our Congress, there are over 100 known Christian nationalist legislators. They also line up well with white supremacists because in my church growing up, I was taught that black and brown people were cursed by God because of some story in Noah about Noah in the Old Testament. And that is what Southern plantation owners used to justify enslaving people before the Civil War. So even though the South lost the Civil War, a lot of the preachers in these churches didn't stop teaching this story about Noah and why it was okay to discriminate against black and brown people because they were inferior because God cursed them. So they line up so well with white supremacists because many of them are white supremacists. They're also taught that they are never to compromise on God's word being perfect and infallible and the law. So they make terrible politicians, and we see this playing out in Congress where they just dig in and won't compromise on anything. They have to have their way 100% of the time because anything less is not obeying God. And so having people who have that kind of thought process where they're using their Bibles and things that they believe about the end of the world, for example, to make foreign policy decisions, isn't really what we want to be electing to make decisions for all of us.
If you're just joining us, Andrea Watkins is our guest. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she is also author of the How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life Substack. And we will include links to her website and also to your Substack in our show notes, Andrea, once the show is over. In about after it takes about 45 minutes for Greg to get it all done. He does a great job. So look for that. There's so much to unpack here. And I guess I want to start with these Christian nationalists like the Old Testament a whole lot better than they do the New Testament, right? They're very pro-Smite.
Yes, they worship angry, vengeful Old Testament God. They pay lip service to Jesus. They talk about Jesus dying on the cross to do away with all that. But they really worship Old Testament, vengeful, smitey, hateful God who destroyed whole cities because somebody made him mad in them and that kind of stuff. So there is a group in the fringe right of this that's becoming more mainstream that actually believe that we should be doing biblical punishment.
Stonings
for adultery, yes, and similar. And they will say with a straight face, the Bible is the only way we should be exacting punishment on people. In fact, Christian nationalists believe that the government is set up to be God's avenger on wrongdoers. And so if they control the government, then they get to be God's avengers. And I started talking about that verse and that belief several months ago, and my jaw dropped open last week when I picked up the Atlantic and McKay Coppins had written a piece about all the prayers at Trump's rallies that he'd been able to get. And the thing that he closed with was them using the government is God's avenger, and we will be your avenger on America's sin. And, you know, they really do believe that if they can get control of the government, they can turn our nation back to God and make our country behave the way the Bible says we should.
I promise you I'm not saying this to be funny, but this makes a TikTok I saw where someone superimposed the faces of Trump and Vance and all these people onto the face of the Avengers. I'm not kidding you. And like, as you're saying this, Andrea, I'm like, oh my God. I thought at first it was dumb. It was dumb. But like now I'm like, oh God, this is the Bible. Oh my God.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
There's just so much, Andrea. I'm so glad. We may have to keep you for several hours.
I can come back anytime.
That would Wonderful. Be great. That would be great. Let's talk about climate change and conservation and the end of the world. So as I see it, these Christian nationalists are really looking forward to the second coming, and they're really looking forward to Armageddon. And so therefore, why should we worry about climate change are poisoning our water or poisoning our air. Does that all kind of play into the same thing?
Yes, and that's part of how they make decisions for all of us in government capacities using their Bible. So there are two different schools of thought in Christian nationalism about this apocalyptic end of the world. There's the school of thought that I grew up in, which is there's going to be an Antichrist and an Armageddon that's going to happen in this valley in Israel. And Jesus is going to come down from on high and smite the Antichrist, and all the Christians are going to live for 1,000 years on this new earth that God creates. They believe the clock started ticking for the end times, the last days, in 1948 when Israel was regathered as a nation, which is why it's so important to them that Israel exists. It's why Trump moved our embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. So they use this Bible prophecy to make major foreign policy decisions. And nobody talks about that. So there is that rule, that piece of thinking, which I grew up in, which is we're living in the last days. So why do we need to save the earth? We're only going to be around for 10 or 20 years. You know, that generation from 1948 is supposed to, somebody's supposed to be alive in it for this to happen. So we don't need to conserve anything because God's going to destroy it all in a few years anyway.
And Andrew, I'm going to stop you. I have to stop you right there because we got a break coming up, but we're going to continue this conversation. Okay. Stay with us. And Cindy, I see you on the line. We'll take your call right after this very, very short break. Andrew Watkins is our guest. Don't miss it. Stay here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon hates that we continue to call Twitter. If you're just joining us, she is a New York Times bestselling author and also the author of the subject called How Project 2025 Will Ruin Your Life. Andra Watkins is here. I'm so glad to have you here, Andra. If you can spare the time, we have news coming up at 11 o'clock. We'd love to keep you on and do another about 15 minutes if you got the time.
I've got the time.
Wonderful. Cindy from Appleton has been waiting very patiently. Thank you for waiting, Cindy. What did you want to say?
Well, this is a little off the climate change topic, but I am reading the book called The Storyteller, and I just read the book called The Resistance Women about the Germans and their ethnic cleansing of the Jewish people. And I think Project 2025 is setting us up for another massive ethnic cleansing of one particular or two particular races of people. And it scares the bejesus out of me.
Well, and I thank you, Cindy. And I think a lot of people should be scared because, as Greg pointed out, if you do not follow this flavor of Christianity, you're not part of the good guys. Right, Andra?
Right, right. I mean, this is the Christianity that they want to force everyone to live by. Now, there is a Catholic version of this, the Opus Dei guys and those people, and then there's a Protestant version of this that Mike Johnson represents as an example, or Mike Pence, you know.
Right.
They're that version of this. So, you know, if they manage to gain power, they're going to have their own holy war about whether Catholicism or a Protestant strain of this Christian nationalism will be our national religion that they'll try to force on everyone.
I've thought about that because, again, Opus Dei, that's Leonard Leo. Leonard Leo is a Federalist Society, and the Federalist Society picked Gorsuch and Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh to sit on the Supreme Court. So that would be a very interesting holy war to see who was going to come out on top on that. We have a comment on the text line from Laura listening on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Thank you so much for having Andra on the air. I've done a lot of research on the rise of Christian nationalism in the last decade for my college papers. It's so important for people to hear about their connections to this. It is. It's just, it's not hyperbolic. We're not hyperventilating over nothing. This is, and I think Project 2025 will stay alive even if Trump isn't elected. They're not going to throw this away. This is their long-term goal, no matter which Republican would get elected.
This is going to work. This project is going to be the manual for the state houses. This is what they do.
It already is the manual for the state houses. I do a regular series called Project 2025 happening now. So abortion bans are Project 2025 happening now. So are book bans. So are transgender bans. Mm-hmm. And in South Carolina, our major teaching hospital just stopped providing transgender care to children and adults over something our very red state legislature put in a bill in May. So they're doing everything they can to implement Project 2025 in red states, Florida and Texas especially, are really great states to look at to see how far along they've gotten already into forcing people to live in this Christo-fascist theocratic version of government.
Well, and think about, this is the Christian version of Iran.
Right, they're the Christian Taliban.
Yes.
People get upset when I say that, but it's the only way I know when they're talking about stoning people for adultery. And I mean, this happens in Afghanistan. That's the kind of extreme punishments that the Taliban metes out on people. So it's not far-fetched to think that that's how these Christian nationalists would govern.
Well, and it's like, those are their good old days. The good old days when you could stone people. You know, let's go back to that, because it was great.
Let's be clear. I don't think they're going to be stoning a lot of men for adultery either.
Well, there's that.
So,
Right.
So, Andra, it seems like, you know, as I said before, Christian nationalism, that term has really made its way into the news, the zeitgeist. We hear it all the time now, and it wasn't that 5-10 years ago. If you did, it was in a documentary or, you know, like a TV show or something like that. But it's now made its way into the Senate. And I wanted to reference Josh Hawley, who the Montana senator, who said simply,
Missouri.
The quote, "Some will say I'm advocating Christian nationalism. So I do. My question is there any other kind worth having?" I mean, now it's just, to use a phrase that's been overused now, which is he's saying the quiet part out loud because they don't care if anyone hears it, because they feel that so many people are on their side, and they have God on their side, apparently, that they can just be open, brazen about it and just say, yeah, this is Christian nationalism, because I'm a Christian. This is a Christian nation. They go on and say everything you just said, and they just get to stand back, and no one holds them accountable for what that entails.
And what that means.
Yeah.
Well, but it's still, you know, he made those comments to a friendly group. So they don't get on the floor of the Senate necessarily and talk like that. But they do have their own language, and that's part of what I deconstruct on my Substack so that people can understand when they say pornography should be outlawed and everyone who produces it and consumes it should be imprisoned, and teachers and librarians who give pornographic books to students should be registered sex offenders, they're not just talking about Pornhub. They're talking about art with nudity or partial nudity. They're talking about the smut romance novels I love to read with all this sex in them. They're talking about many, many, many films that come out of Hollywood that would have physical contact between sexes in it. They're talking about homosexuality and other things. It's much bigger.
Well, pornography, and I believe you said this when you were talking to Scott Dworkin, pornography to Christian nationalists is anything that makes them think about sex.
Makes Mike Johnson think about sex. Yeah. That's how I talk about it.
Anything that makes Mike Johnson think about sex is therefore pornographic. So we're not just talking, like you said, Andra, about Pornhub or, you know, movies of pornography. This can have a massive wide range about music and books and performance art. The list goes
pictures,
on.
pictures of women in swimsuits would be porn. And Mike Johnson's app on his phone that he uses and shares with his son flags pictures of women in swimsuits as pornographic.
We are going to continue our conversation with Andrew Watkins right after the 11 o'clock news. Stay with us. If you have a question for Andrew, you can call, you can text 855-752-4842. This is Matt Nair on air. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.